Yes, praise the Lord. I want to start in the book of John, as in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Gospel of John, I should say. I guess that would be the way to identify it. And we start in the third chapter of John. Now, there's probably nobody here that does not know these verses, could repeat them from the time you were 3 years old, if you've been in church that long. It's standard, it's basic, it's, what do you call it? Foundational. Foundational word. So let me just start in verse 1, and we'll see the context of where Jesus spoke this word. It said, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now we know that the Pharisees were the, we'll say the ruling class of the religion of the Jewish people, particularly of Jerusalem, okay? So these are the men who were supposed to know the Word of God, okay? They were supposed to be the keepers of the Word, the Law of Moses, and they were should have been the ones who recognized the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God. Okay, so now the same man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he's opening up, first of all, to Jesus Christ. He's acknowledging that he's from God, that he is sent of God, and now he wants to know more, okay? And Jesus answered and said unto him, yeah, I don't remember the man asking a question, but it says Jesus answered. The man made a statement. He said, I know that you are sent from God, that you are a teacher from God, and now Jesus gives an answer to the man. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Opened right up to the man. Cannot see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Can I make a little drawing here on the board? And you probably know what I'm going to do. Wearing down here a little bit, isn't it? We have the outline of a tabernacle, okay? And we have in the tabernacle a holy place and a most holy place. And we put a little curtain here between them. This will be the holy place, and this is the Holy of Holies. And this is the outer court. And in the outer court, we're just going to put two pieces of furniture. We're going to put the brazen altar, and we're going to put a brazen laver here. Okay? This is the brazen altar where the sacrifice is made, the blood is shed. And in the laver is where the priests wash, the washing of water. And it speaks of the kingdom of God. This is the house of God. This is a picture. It's a pattern of the whole house of God. You come into the house of God, there's an entrance, okay? Every man has to come in the same way. You come in by what? We come in by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? In the days of Moses, it was sacrifice, it was animal blood, it was shed blood, but it was a type of Jesus Christ. It was a type of the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So, the man has recognized, he's seen something in Jesus. He's not really so bold that he's ready to come right out during the daytime in the temple, make an announcement in front of other Pharisees or anything like that. He's a little bit embarrassed about such a thing. He knows there's something of truth that this man, Jesus, is bringing. He's not quite sure. whether he wants to make a real commitment or, well, but I'd like to find out a little bit more before I make a decision. So he's come to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." What's that mean? Verily, verily. What is it? Truly, truly, I tell you, I have never been more sure about anything than I'm telling you right now. He said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
That term there, a theological term, is asterism. And it means that what follows is great revelation. It's like when the Holy Spirit says, behold.
Mm-hmm.
You pay special attention to what's coming out.
You're going to get some revelation. So, the being born again, okay, is the coming in the gate and stopping at the very first station, the brazen altar. So, let's read on here, and then we'll come back and take another look at it. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, notice he didn't say that he's already entered the kingdom of God, did he? Come on, did Jesus say what he meant, and did he mean what he said? Is there a mistake here? No. He simply said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, your eyes have to be opened up by being born again. In other words, you don't get born again because your eyes are open. But getting born again opens your eyes. It does something to you spiritually. All right? So, we go on. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So, here's a man. Jesus is speaking something spiritual to the man, and he's shifting to something natural. In other words, Nicodemus is proving here that his eyes are not open yet. Because his eyes are only seeing natural. In other words, this is not eyes. This is the eyes of the Spirit. This is the eyes of his understanding. Amen? What does the Word of God say about the eyes of our understanding? Can we find that verse? It's in the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 18. Shall we look in verse 18? Ephesians, yeah. Paul is saying that he understands this. Here it is, verse 18. Well, let me read from verse 15. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints. So, Paul has heard about the Ephesian people. He heard about what? He heard about their faith and he heard about their love. Now, what would be significant about hearing about somebody's faith and about their love? How do people know they are Christians?
By their love
one for another, okay, which is the fruit of the Spirit, okay? So, he said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Do we really pray for other people like that? Paul said he did. Amen? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. See, now this is a prayer. Paul is praying this prayer. That the God of who? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Wisdom, revelation, knowledge. Okay? And verse 18, he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Amen. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us, toward usward. Amen. Well, that's probably far enough. Anyway, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. What kind of seeing is Paul praying for? Natural eyes?
Spiritual
eyes. Eyes of understanding. Amen. You know, let me just write some of these. What were some of the words here? That we had a spirit of what? Wisdom? Wisdom, understanding,
revelation in the knowledge of Jesus.
Revelation and knowledge. What's knowledge mean?
Understanding.
Knowledge means you know something, doesn't it? That's what knowledge is. You know something. Now, this is a prayer that our eyes would be open. Let me write this here. Eyes open. Eyes open. Okay? Eyes open that we might have this. Now, what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus, back here in John chapter 3, he's saying, Nicodemus, you can't even see the kingdom of God until you're born again. Now, is this some of the things that Jesus might have wanted Nicodemus to be able to see? But he's saying to Nicodemus, you're just a religious man. You're just religious. You're down there in the temple. You're hanging around these Pharisees. You're just a religious man. You can't see. And Nicodemus proved that he couldn't see by saying, well, I can't go back in my mother and be born again. How's that going to happen? I'm too big. I mean, it just isn't going to work. Tell me how this can happen. So Jesus answered, now verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what Jesus doing is he's taking him beyond this point here. Here he says, except you're born again, you cannot see. So, here is... Let me make a different color here. From this point, he can see, right? He can see the kingdom of God. All this does is gives him the ability to see. But it doesn't give him the ability to enter in yet. You see, the man is still over here. Now, Jesus said to the man, to Nicodemus, he said, well, let me read it. Except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, water and Spirit, what are we talking about here? First he said born again, and then he makes another step. Water and Spirit. Well, what do we have here? We have water, right? We have baptism by water. And if you want to go back to Matthew chapter 3, we have the words of John the Baptist where he said, I baptize you, here it is in verse 11, I baptize you in water unto repentance, okay? But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So, Jesus said to Nicodemus, born again, first stop. Oh, I'm in Matthew 3 here, verse 11, the one I just read. Okay. So born again, now he can see. Now he needs to be born of what? The water and the Spirit, right? And what did John say? Who is going to baptize you? He said, I baptize you in water. So a man can baptize you here in water. But then Jesus is going to baptize you in what? The Spirit and fire. So now, you can not only see the kingdom of God, but now you are qualified to enter the kingdom of God. So, while this is the whole house of God, it isn't necessarily all the kingdom of God, is it? You don't really come into the kingdom until you come here into the tabernacle itself. This is the pattern. All right, now let's move on from here. I'll just finish reading what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Except a man is born of the water and of the Spirit, and Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit, okay? He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All right, so now he can enter. He's qualified to enter. All right, so by the way, this corrects some of the wrong doctrine that the church has, that all you have to be is born again, you're in the kingdom of God. Not true. You've got to go more than that. Well, all you got to do is get baptized in water, and you're in the kingdom of God. But Jesus is saying more than that. If you really want to enter the kingdom of God, you must also be born of the water and of the Spirit. So it isn't just natural things that man can do. There's a work that Jesus has to do of the Holy Spirit. If you really want to be in the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a natural kingdom. It's not a name over the door that says First Church of the this or that, or the name of Wesleyan, or whatever name it is. No, that's not the kingdom of God. That's an organization of man. And you see the terrible things that man does in his organization. They put out the true men of God. Yeah, they do. They do. Amen. Marvel, okay. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He's talking about going beyond the natural things. You have to be born of the Spirit. And you know what? Your eyes are not open until you are. Because the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. And you're going to be looking for natural things in the natural man, and you're going to try to run it like a natural organization. And it can't be run that way. No, it can't. Amen. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Amen. More than just natural birth. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. You see, you look at them, and you say, what's different about Sister So-and-so? What's happened to her? She's changed. But you can't tell what it is. You can hear the wind blow. You can see the trees move, but you can't see the air, you can't see the wind. You just know that something has happened. Amen? Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we know and testify what we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? In other words, Jesus is saying, I haven't even really opened up to you. I haven't really even begun to give you heavenly understanding. Now, we're not going to be long about this, but I want to talk about seeing. Because in order to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to first have the ability to see. And you're not going to enter into something that you can't see. How many times has somebody said to you, "I don't know, I just don't see it. I just don't see what you're talking about." Maybe your family members. Weren't you saying that some of your family members don't understand? I don't see it. Something different has happened, and your eyes see something different than they see. Amen? Okay. Let's go to John. We're still in John. Let's go to the 12th chapter of John, and there's a couple verses I'd like to read here. Now, amen. This is John 12, and I believe that Jesus has been teaching, and he's talking about light and darkness. And let me come to the right verse here. Let's maybe start in verse 35, okay? So then Jesus said to them, "Yet a little while is the light with you." What's he talking about?
Himself.
Yet a little while is the light. Now, what does light have to do with seeing? Quite a lot, doesn't it? If you're in darkness, you don't see. If you're in light, your eyes are designed so that they can see, and they need light. You know what? Even things that see in the dark need a little bit of light to see. Even deer and cats and things like that that are night-seeing creatures, there still has to be enough light come into their eyes in order for them to be able to see anything. So, Jesus is the light. He's the one who opens our eyes. He's the one who gives us the ability to see. All right. Otherwise, we're in darkness. So, he said, "A little while you have the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." You see, the people that are following the ways of sin, they don't know where they're going. They just don't know. Amen? "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." And by the way, what that literally means here is the King James word "children" should not be used here. It is clearly the word "sons." And what he's saying is, while you have light, believe in the light, that ye may become the sons of light. Sons mean what? Maturity. So, you have to be in the light and you have to walk in the light to become the sons of light. Okay? "These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them." Now, let's go on a little further. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now, at least that caught Nicodemus's attention. And by the way, we do know that Nicodemus did finally receive that light. We know that. Amen? He was one of those that came for the body of Jesus on the cross. Nicodemus. Amen? And he had to forsake his affiliation with the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. Eventually, he had to make that decision. And it wouldn't surprise me that they drove him out because he believed. Because they didn't want to believe. Here's another example of the darkness trying to drive out the light, drive out the righteous. Amen? By the way, history does say that they drove him out. Yeah, it's not in the Bible, but history says that they did drive him out. Anyway, that the saying of Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? What's revealed again? Revelation? Revelation means what?
Revealed.
Opening up of something that you can see. Something you couldn't see, it's now revealed, now you can see it. That's what the book of Revelation is. It's the opening up of the hidden mysteries of God. Especially insofar as the end time is concerned. What was happening to John? It says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, right? And what happened to him then? And he began to see. And he began to hear. So it wasn't just eyes that were open, it was ears that was opened as well. He began to hear and he began to see. All right? Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, quote, verse 40, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So, because of the stubbornness of our heart, God is saying that He has blinded our eyes that we don't see. The eyes of our what? The eyes of our understanding that we don't see and that we're not going to know. Now, this is a very difficult passage to understand. Why would God do this? Why would He blind the eyes of people? Why would He harden their heart? Silence. Nobody's got the answer.
Well, just so He could further carry out His work is probably the only way He can get to them.
All right. And you know what? There are people... Go and read again Plagues of Egypt in Exodus. Go and read it again. I know we don't have time to read the whole thing. I'm going to read one of them, though, today before we quit. But the point is... These signs and miracles, one after another, were performed in front of Pharaoh. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
So there was no excuse. Pharaoh should have known the might and the power of God. He should have known. Mm-hmm. Right? The people of the days of Noah should have known that a flood was coming. Mm-hmm. And they should have known that there was a place of refuge being built for them. Why should they have known? Because there was a preacher of righteousness that was preaching these things to them. It says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. That means a preacher of righteousness was preaching against the wickedness that they were doing and pointing out to them that the judgment of God comes on the unrighteous. And therefore, God is going to bring judgment, but there is a way of escape. Even as we preach in this day and in this age, judgment is coming upon this world, but God is making a way of escape in the Holy of Holies. So we have seen that the abomination of desolation, sister, has even come into the Holy Place Church. And it isn't going to want to leave. So therefore, those who want to be holy place people have got one choice. Well, they have two choices. They can go back into the outer court, stay in the abomination of desolation, or they must flee to higher ground, which is up into Mount Zion. Didn't we sing the songs of Mount Zion this morning?
Mount Zion.
Mount Zion is what? The city of the living God.
Hallelujah.
It's a spiritual place. We have to come up into Mount Zion, brethren. All right, so, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. Now, when you read about Pharaoh, it says that there was a plague. Moses came. lifted the plague, and what happened? What happened to Pharaoh? Pharaoh hardened his heart. And the next plague came along, and Pharaoh acknowledged that everybody was in trouble and they didn't like the plague and everything like that. And Moses said, okay, we'll lift the plague. And then what happened? Pharaoh hardened his heart. And after a while, the wording begins to change, and then it begins to say, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Isn't that interesting? Why? Because the man hardened his own heart. And God came along and said, okay, you want to have a hard heart? I'm going to take you right to the end. You're either going to acknowledge me as Lord or I'm going to break you into pieces. And that's basically what happened to Pharaoh. He broke his mighty army into 1,000 pieces. So in other words, the man would not yield. What was the difference? Come on. What was the difference between Jacob and Esau? Why did God loveth Jacob and not loveth Esau? Because there was a difference in the heart of these two men. There was a difference in them in the womb. Before they were born, there was something different about them. And God gave each one a full opportunity. Each one had a full opportunity to change. But in the course of time, you began to see the way that Esau wanted to take. And he wanted to take the way of the wild man. But the Lord said, in the furnace of affliction I have chosen thee. He's talking about who? He's talking about the likes of Jacob. Because he put Jacob in a furnace of affliction, and he began to heat him up. He used old Uncle Laban to keep cheating him. He used the fear of Esau to break him down. And finally, in desperation, old Jacob is wrestling all night with God. And he's not getting anywhere. And finally, God is going to win the day, and he's going to put his hip out of joint, and Jacob is going to walk a different man from that point on. You say, well, he's handicapped. Yes, praise the Lord, he's handicapped. His flesh, he can't depend on anymore. No more flesh. Jacob, you're going to have to walk by spirit now. Your flesh of that hip has been destroyed. Amen. So, well, it isn't fair. Yes, it is fair. Because God saved the man. He saved him from his Jacob nature. To the point where, what is your name? My name is supplanter. My name is cheater. My name is rascal. Amen. My name is nobody can really trust me. That's my name. That's who I am. Okay, Jacob, you're going to have a new name now because you're going to have a new nature. Amen. And now you're going to be able to see spiritual things. Your eyes are going to be open now. Oh my. Alright, so, did we read, let's read a little further. He has blinded their eyes, verse 40, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. So, because of their own nature, of what their heart was hard, how could God possibly open up revelation to a man whose heart is hardened to sin and all of a sudden he begins to see the pearls of God? No, it's not appropriate. He's a pig. He can't have those things. I use that as a figure of speech. You knew that. Don't cast pearls before swine. All right? He's a dog. He's not worthy of having the spiritual things. He's unclean. Okay. Never these things saith Elijah, Elias, when he saw his glory and spake of him. Isaiah saw something of the glory of God when he spoke these words. Okay? He says, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, Many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Synagogue is another word for church. By the way, you know, synagogue is not a Hebrew word. It's a Greek word. Yeah. The synagogue is not a word exclusively owned by Jewish people. It isn't. It simply means a gathering together of the people. That's all it means. But if we put a sign up out front here and said that we were a synagogue, people would think we were Jewish people.
Yeah.
Many people, yeah. Maybe the Spanish people have a more open mind, but over here where they're English-speaking people, they wouldn't have an open mind. They'd say it's a Jewish gathering. Yeah. All right, so because of the synagogue, that they're afraid they'd be put up. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Isn't this interesting? What was in their heart, these leaders that wanted to acknowledge the Christ but were afraid to do so? They wanted what? They wanted the praise of men. Now, what does the praise of men amount to? Read it, it's your favorite word. Starts with an F.
Flattery.
Men flatter each other. Oh, what a great man of God you are. Oh, wow, what an anointed teaching. Oh, wow, that prophecy. Oh, wow, oh, wow. You know, and they begin to flatter. Come on, brethren. I don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Amen. And Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me." In other words, if your eyes are going to see who I am, then you're going to see that I'm of the Father. If that's what you're going to believe, then your eyes are really open, because you're not just going to see me as a great prophet, as a great teacher, as a great, 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 whatever, famous this. No, you're going to see that I'm from the Father and that I am of the Father and that I am God. Amen? And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. We're talking about eyes now. He that sees me, Jesus said, he's saying it openly, if you see me, you see the Father. Who was it? Thomas? Was it Thomas or Phil? I think it was Thomas said, show us the Father and we'll believe. I think it was Thomas. It could have been Philip.
Philip.
Yes, it was Philip. Yes.
Have they been with you so long?
And he says, I've been with you, Philip, so long, and you haven't seen the Father? Let me ask you a question. When you die, I'll use the term. When you die and go to heaven, what do you think you're going to see?
Jesus.
Yeah. Do you think you're going to see Jesus sitting on one throne and God sitting on another throne? Holy Ghost? No. Well, are you going to see an old man with a big long beard and you know? No. You know what? You're going to see Jesus. You say, I'm going to go up to Jesus and say, I want to see the Father. Show me the Father too. You know, he's going to give you the same answer. You've seen me? You've seen the Father. Well, show me the Lamb of God. Well, here I am. I'm the Lamb of God. Now, you see, John saw different things of Jesus. He said there was a Lamb in the midst of the throne. What does that mean? What was John seeing? He was in the Spirit. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He didn't say, I was in the flesh on the Lord's day. He said, I was in the Spirit, and I began to see in the Spirit. Now, at one time, he saw the throne, and he saw one sitting upon the throne. Power, brightness, light. And then he saw the Lamb, and he saw the Lamb in the midst of the throne. And what does that mean? He saw something different about Jesus. He saw the sacrificial nature. He saw that he was slain from the foundation of the world. His in other words, his understanding, his revelation, he began to see some wisdom. He began to see things that we don't ordinarily see. Hallelujah. No, I didn't finish reading this, did I? I am the light. Amen. I am the light. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Amen. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me, amen, and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Hallelujah. All right. Now, this is some word that Jesus brought. By the way, John seems to be so full of this word about seeing and light. I wonder why. What was there about John? So, we want to go one more place in John, and that would be John chapter 9. You know, by the way, it was John that talked about Jesus being the light. In the very first chapter of John, it says that he was the light, he came into the world as the light, and it says that in the darkness, here it is, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men might, through him, might believe. Amen? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Light means ability to see, right? That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received it, him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. So he was the light, and the darkness could not change him. Now, brethren, I'm telling you something. If you're in the light, it doesn't matter what they try to do to you, they cannot put out the light and your ability to see. They can't put it out. Amen. Read my lips. They can't put it out. The devil cannot put the light out of you. They can throw you out of their synagogues. Amen. They can vote you out. But they cannot put the light out of you.
Hallelujah.
Glory, glory. And the light is greater than the darkness. Amen. You have a little house sitting in darkness, and you open the and there's light in the house, and you open the door of the house, what happens? The light goes out. You don't see a shaft of darkness come into the house from the darkness outside. That's not the way it works. Because the shaft of light goes out of the house into the darkness. Oh, glory. Now, Jesus healed a man born blind. Do we have time to talk about this? Oh, of course we do. Yes. He healed a man born blind. And it caused a real ruckus. Somehow it didn't bother them to have a man with a withered hand. Okay, he still has a hand. It's withered. Now it's functioning. Probably nothing to it, you know. But a man born blind, this they couldn't comprehend. This is something that they had never... It just upset the religious establishment. And in particular, here it is in verse 12. It says, "And they said to him, where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes." It was the Sabbath day. You see, again, they had a religious thing that a man couldn't do anything on a Sabbath day. And Jesus is showing to them that I am the Sabbath. I am the rest. I'll open this man's eyes on the Sabbath day. I'll take care of this man's withered hand. I'll do, you know, whatever. Yeah, amen. So now we're going to come down a little bit further here in this to verse 39, I believe it is. The whole chapter is just their debate and their argument over the whole thing. Here it is. Hallelujah. Verse 35 now. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Here's another example. Somebody got thrown out of their synagogue again. Who got thrown out? The blind man who could see. Oh, we can't have him here in our church. Why? Because he's evidence of the miracle and the power of Jesus Christ. In other words, if we allow this man to stay in our group, we have to acknowledge the man that healed him, that he is of God. And in order to do that, it's going to upset our whole religious order. Yes, it's going to turn the apple cart right upside down. We're going to lose all our position of elders here. And we're going to have to... No, they... Listen, they were hard-hearted. But they were sharp enough that they had the math figured out. They figured it out. If we allow this blind man to be in the synagogue, he's going to blabber everything that happened to him. He's going to talk about it. He's going to spread this gospel of Jesus the Messiah throughout the whole synagogue. Amen. And we're going to have to acknowledge. They figured it out. They knew what was going to happen. I mean, they weren't stupid, but they were blind. That they were. And they wouldn't acknowledge that they were blind. That's a sad thing. Amen. It says, and Jesus heard they cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Now, they didn't even like the term Son of God. Why? Because it meant he was God. If I said that I had a son, that he was my son, what would you believe? That he came out of me, and therefore he was made of the same stuff that I'm made out of, right? Yeah, you would say he's of him, right? So to acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God would mean that he came out of God and he's made of the same stuff as God. Now I wonder, what are we going to do with this term sons of God then? Now I didn't say only begotten son, that's Jesus Christ. But what about sons of God? I mean, we keep encountering the term in the New Testament, sons of God.
Join the hands of Christ.
Yeah. So sons of God mean that now the original purpose that God had in the Garden of Eden when he created Adam, he created Adam to be what? To be his son. What did God say before he, they... made man, let us make man after our image and after our likeness. Okay? So he succeeded, first of all, in making man after his image. And now, if we are going to be after his likeness, we will be like Christ. And if we are going to be like Christ, we will no longer be sons of Adam, but now we will be sons, plural, of God. Now, do you believe it's possible? Come on now. Come on now. The churches are not preaching this. That it's going to be possible that God is going to have a generation of human beings that are going to be sons of God. That's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, African, the Hispanic, none of those things. A generation of human beings that will be as Christ. Yes! That means they're not only going to see the kingdom of God, they are going to go all the way in, and they're going to stand before the mercy seat, amen, come boldly before the mercy seat. They're going to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, and they're going to be able to live in that place. That means the veil has been rent as far as God is concerned. There's no more barrier. As far as we are concerned, we have a barrier. The problem is that wherever Moses is read, there's a veil upon the eyes. So our barrier is our inability to see. But God doesn't have any such barrier. He told Nicodemus, he says, listen, born again, I'm going to give you the ability to see. Now start seeing and start going to where you can actually enter in and live there. Glory. Come on, you see it? Are you beginning to see it? Yes, you can. And he said, he answered him and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. He couldn't get it more plain than that. Who is the Son of God? You're looking at him. You're talking to him. Now that he didn't even make it that clear to Nicodemus, did he? But to the blind man, he said, come on, I'm going to give you the whole story. This is who we are. And Jesus, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. There's the evidence that you believed. He worshipped. If you believe he's the Son of God, you're going to worship him. Amen? Hallelujah. And Jesus said, hallelujah, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see. Here's the man who did not see, that he might see. And that they which see might be made blind. Here, he's talking about the religious order. The ones that say they see, he says, oh no, you're going to be made blind. Because the light I'm going to give to the people who can't see is going to be so far over surpassing that you'll be blind. You'll be holding on to your wickedness, your unrighteousness, your organization, your thing of man, your flesh. You're going to be holding on to that. You're going to be pretending to the world that you can see, but you're going to be pitifully blind. What did he say to the Laodicea church? What was their problem? They thought they could see. He says, but you're blind. Not only are you blind, but you're naked. Do you know that? This is a picture of the world. The world is running around naked and they don't even know it. They think they're really upscale. Do you see what people are wearing? Or what people are not wearing? They're blind. They're blind, blind, blind. Amen. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. So, those that see are going to be blind. Those that don't see, but want to see, are the ones who are going to be able to see. You know, I've got a whole lot more material. How about we do it again next week? Amen? Would that be all right? I mean, I wanted to go into Elisha. You know what you and I were talking about last week? And the thing in Egypt. Oh my, there's so much more. So let's just take the time. And we'll do part two then, the next time. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Can I share something on this subject?
Yeah. Shall I leave the recorder on? Sure. Let's do it.
We sing a song that says, God is moving us on. He is leading a way, the way that we have never been before. There are mountains to climb, valleys to cross, but before us there is an open door. So many times we've sung this song, and so many times I've asked the Lord, what is this new way, Lord, that you're going to lead us? We were singing this song in Nebraska, and all of a sudden I had this revelation of what this new way is. You know, when I was born in this world, I was born into darkness. The only way I knew was the way of darkness. Everything I did was darkness. I learned the way of the world, the traditions, the blah, blah, blah. So all I knew within me was the way of darkness. But then I got born again, and I began to see. And it was like when I got born again, it was like God brought me to the entrance of the light. That new way that we've never known before is the way of light. And as we obey God and grow in His Word and grow in the knowledge of Him and are obedient unto death even, that light, we go deeper and deeper into the light, and it's like totally surrounds us. It was glorious. It was like such a bright light. So that's the new way. That's the way God is leading us. It's a way we've never been before, is the way of light. Amen.
In other words, you're baptized in light, which is baptized in Christ. Christ is light. And if you are to be baptized, means you're completely enveloped in something. So now you are completely enveloped in light, and He is light. And you understand, when I first heard Brother Duciel say that hell is the mercy of God, I'm thinking, mercy of God? It's got to be a horrible place. No, it's the mercy of God, because people that are there are people who love the darkness, and if they were forced to come into the light, they would be so miserable. I mean, they would just be writhing in agony and pain because of being forced to be in the light. So therefore, hell in its darkness is the mercy of God for them. It's less torment than actually having to be in the light of heaven. Amen. Well, praise the Lord.